this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Everyone, I want to introduce Jan Cor to you. Jan Cor, if you can join me in front. Jan Cor is a legend. Let me just quickly tell you, when I got to Stellenbosch as a first-year student, 2003, toen was Jan Cor al oomeubels in Stellenbosch. Not that old. But at that stage, Jan Cor was really impacting the residents through small groups, and he was walking a road with a lot of young small group leaders, just raising them up to be leaders in their races. And at that time, many of them became prims. That's like the head boy of your race. And the campus really changed. And Jan Cor, we want to honor you today because you've walked with God for many years now. It must be more than 20. More than 20. But let's not give away birth dates and stuff like that. But thanks for your consistency. I just told someone, it's just amazing. 9 years ago, I left Stellenbosch as a student, and Jan Cor was there. This is 9 years later, and Jan Cor is still there, walking strongly. And it's just amazing how God keeps on building us, and just how our roads came back together. Recently, Jan Cor planted the church in Windhoek, or did you oversee it? Yeah, he was like the overseer, like Philip that comes here every now and then. Jan Cor is like the regional leader for Namibia, and they're doing great. They've got more than one church. They've got two going to three, and they're just expanding. Jan Cor, to have you here, we know actually that the place of your spiritual focus is Namibia and headquarters, but to have you here is special for us, and we open our hearts to receive from you. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's good to be here. As I said, I preached in Standerton this morning, and I also asked them, you know, are you friendly people? You know, I've got a very small heart. Anyway, it's good to be here. And it's not often that I feel I'm a bit older than the most of the people I'm preaching to, actually. I'm not that old. But yes, I'm excited of what God is going to do tonight. I'm going to actually go on from where Theo actually stopped, and I will actually just give away my whole agenda right in the beginning. Usually, when you preach, you're supposed to build it up to an altar call. You know, there's like a whole techniques thing that you need to follow, but I'm not your typical preacher. I will probably do a few interesting and funny stuff. Don't worry, I won't embarrass you. I will probably not ask you to come and do something at the front, you know, so don't worry, but I might ask you a few interesting questions. To make you think. But my agenda, let me quickly put it out there. I'm hoping that all of us can grow in our intimacy of God. That's it. You know, and something that you also said, yes, we say, God, I want to, you know, draw near to you, and then God draw near to us. But what does it actually mean? You know, it's like, how do you know you're in God's intimacy? How do you know you're experiencing God's intimacy? What is the fruit? How can you, in a sense, test yourself? You know, for me tonight, I hope that we can actually, the Bible says, examine yourself, whether you're still in the faith, test yourself. It's one of my prime small group verses. And whenever I hear the word faith, I in brackets, and it's not, I know all the teachers might look at me now and do like a frown, but when I read the word faith in the Bible, I can put in the relationship with God. Okay, so when the Bible says, examine yourself, you can just as well say, examine yourself, how's your relationship with God? Test it. Are you all with me? Are there a few teachers here? Did anyone frown at me? Anyone frown? Anyone? Anyone? yes, so one of the things that I hope we can realize is when you get saved, there's an intimacy with God that you experience, which is very special. And the question I want to put before you, I actually wanted to call my sermon that, I don't think that title is going to work that well actually, is, are you growing up or growing old? And what I mean by that is, Jesus says we must all become like children, okay? That's a good place to get to. But are you growing up or growing old? And I will tell you what I mean by that, is that when you get when you're growing up, or you're getting more mature, you're supposed to grow in your intimacy with God. Are you with me? If you grow up, old, it's a bit different, and I will explain to you, what does it mean to have that intimacy with God? And I want to read to you in Revelations, because that's a good place to find out how intimacy with God looks like, because they've got no worldly stuff to worry about. They're already in heaven. Okay? So let's read Revelations 4, verse 8 to 11. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and are full of eyes all around and within, and the day and night they will never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And basically what we found there is that the thing that we're looking at, the fruit, the outcome, is that we see glory, honor, and thanks. That's an outflow of intimacy with God. So what I quickly want you to do is I want you to turn to another person and ask, or close your eyes, rather close your eyes, and I'm going to give it time, and I want you to think about your current prayer life and ask yourself, how much negativity is there? How much critical spirit is there? Or how much glory, honor, and thanks is there in your current prayer life? Quickly close your eyes and ask, test your relationship with God quickly. So the opposite of glory, honor, and thanks would be, as I said, a critical, negative spirit. If you would look at little Rebecca when she was here at the front, and you go and look in her eyes, how much worry, negativity, and critical spirit do you think there would be? That's exactly where Christ wants us, but in our intimacy with Him. And let me read to you 1 Peter, because he's saying exactly the same. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, again, in brackets, you can most of the times, not always, don't kill me on that. In brackets, your relationship with God, or your intimacy of God, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we say we're growing more mature in Christ, it means that is the fruit that will happen in your heart. Are you with me? Let me quickly ask you this. Do you think in God's character there is a critical, negative attitude? No, God created worshipers. So a lot of us, and I'm talking here about especially to Christians that's been in the faith for a while. Because we tend to, because of life running at quite a high speed, we tend to run with life, but we leave the intimacy of God behind. And we don't often get back to, hey, what does it mean? Where's my relationship actually with God? We even, and I want to say this in context, we sometimes even say, God, I want your presence. But sometimes we experience God's presence, but not His intimacy. It's great that my wife is in my room, but I want intimacy with her. I don't just want her in my room. Are you with me? And I understand when we say I want God's presence, I know what we mean. But a lot of us, we don't experience that intimacy. Even, I think to you now said, yes, say, draw near to God and you can worship Him. But some of us are like, I don't really get that. I know I want to. There's something in me that I know I'm hungry even for that. But there's a few things that it's like preventing us getting there. And I hope that I can give us some of those keys today to help us to get to that place. So, yes, we don't want to grow old. We want to grow mature. Amen. We want to grow mature, not old. Okay? Amen. Let me quickly do another thing with you. And that is, you know, often with counseling, this is probably the thing that I found most with people, that come through counseling, they usually ask the wrong question. They're having the wrong conversation with God. The Bible says you do not receive because you don't ask with the right focus. A lot of times we ask with the wrong focus and then we don't get the right answer from God. And how I want to explain that is, how of you know what ITB is? Anyone? ITB? All the sport? Any doctors here? Physios? Any? Okay, so I must get my facts right here. Are you a doctor or a physio? Physio. ITB is iliotibialis band syndrome. Hey? I'm fine so far. So what it is, for those that don't know, I like endurance races. I usually overdo it a bit. And so you get a pain right here next to your knee. And I remember going to my own sister, which is also, I say my own sister. At least I know my English keep people awake. But anyway, I went to my sister. By the way, I'm from the Kalahari. I never thought I would ever need to speak English. When I was at school and the Bible talked about the Gentiles, I always thought it was the English. And anyway. Anyway, so I went to my sister and I told her, by the way, nothing against English people. But anyway, so I went to my sister and I said to her, I've got this knee problem right here. And she told me it's ITB. And so I said, fixed it. And she said, but that's not really the problem. The problem is actually here in my glutes. Boatspira. I'm still fine. And typically, like a brother, no, the problem's right here. You don't get it. It's right. It's quite painful here. So she told me to lie down, and she pressed on my glutes. And then I realized, no, the problem's in my glutes. It's not necessarily in my knee. Now, we do exactly this with God. We go to God, we say, I've got this problem, issue, pain, whatever we want to call it. And then God wants to talk to us about our glutes. And then we say, no, I don't want to talk about my glutes, I want to talk about my knee. And then we don't understand why God doesn't want to say the words we want to. Are you with me? The more ironic thing is God even wants to give us the right exercises, stretches to help us fixing the knee, but God is more interested in the root problem than the actual pain. Are you with me? So I hope that even tonight that I might even help some of you getting away from the pain rather to the root problem. Because a lot of times also that root problem is keeping you from your intimacy with God, actually. Okay, now, if you can quickly put out a list, I think it's the next slide. He also spoke some of them. There's a list of things that God actually gives us the exercises to how to overcome certain issues. For example, let me quickly use the one he mentioned, the yoke with Jesus. As he said, if you at that place where you're heavy burdened, what does the Bible actually say we should do? He says yoke with Jesus. So in our case, we say to God, the problem is I'm heavy laden, and Jesus wants to talk to you about his passion. Are you with me? He's not going to talk to you about your heavy burden or the fact that you need rest. The nice thing is God says, do what I'm telling you to do, and who's going to give you the rest? Him. No striving. There shouldn't be striving in our relationship with God. There must be obedience, there must be endurance, but not striving. We're not supposed to sit like, I don't know, seeking performance. That's not what God is looking. And remember those guys coming to Jesus and say, we prophesied, we cast out demons, and Jesus says, I don't know you. Go away. You will practice lawlessness. By the way, lawlessness, if you're making a rule unto yourself, you will find people that are usually lawless are people that are usually also negative and critical. But we'll get to that also a bit later. So, talking about that one, yoke with Jesus. Now, I think maybe even when I last time was here, I actually also maybe used this example, but I'm going to do it again anyway. So, when we've got like a headache, we drink a headache pill, okay? And what we do, it go into your mouth, and it go to your stomach, and it heals your head. Now, we're all fine with that. Are you with me? Now, Jesus is doing exactly the same. He's saying, okay, you're heavy burdened. Here's the pearl. What we want to do is, we want to put that pearl right onto your head and says, Jesus, the problem is here with the headache. So heal it now. No, Jesus, this is not working. I'm going to start with spiritual warfare. We're laughing. We all do it. When we drink a pill, nobody worries what's happening between your stomach and your head. But when it comes to the Word of God, we want to figure out what's happening between the stomach and the head. It can't be that. It's not. It doesn't make sense. I'm heavy laden, now you want me to work for you. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't. See, part of the problem is we try to fit God into our box of thinking. If it doesn't make sense, it can't be God, I'm not going to do it. Do you all get it? Let me use a few other tests. Quite a few. I'm going to read on the end again this. But if you want, you can write down that list. It's the same. The first one, if you struggle with worry in your life, God says first seek the kingdom of God. And He will fix it. Thanksgiving, I'm going to read one about Thanksgiving. Giving, yoke of Jesus, I already said that. A kindness, go read Proverbs 12, verse 25. Honor, I'm going to read that one a little bit later. Edify the church, Ephesians 4. It says, if we do the work of the ministry and we get equipped, and we do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ, what is the outcome that the Bible promises us? Maturity in Christ. If you want to grow in your character, you want to become more like Christ, do the work of the ministry that edify the body of Christ. Him then, he takes it personally, he makes it his responsibility then to help you to grow. A lot of people want to read a book, go to a course, and take a shortcut to a better character and being more like Christ-like. Now, with all due respect, let me just quickly... It's like buying something made in China. We these days always want a shortcut to a more being more like Christ-like. And God, don't do shortcuts. Are you with me? We want the made in heaven, not the made in China. Okay, with all due respect to China, but I'm sure you all understand what I'm trying to say. Let me read to you John 15, verse 11 to 13. I think there's probably a verse that you've read in the last bit of time. Now you will see how my brain actually works. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So if you don't have joy in your heart, here's the next exercise. This is my command, love one another as I loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Now I know, Vanderbilt also knows, if someone comes to counseling and says, I don't have any joy in my life, guess what? He wants counseling about his joy. Well, the word says, no. Do you know what's the best advice I can give you? You must start love one another person. Let's talk about who's that person in your life that you're willing to lay down your life for. That's a much better conversation than to have about your need for joy. Does it make sense? Are you still following me? If you still follow, just raise up your hand. Just anyone offended so far? Anyone offended, people? Vanna will counsel you afterwards. He's a very loving, kind person. So there's three things that I want to focus on the rest of the sermon on. And the one is we should actually practice those things that we're supposed to get in intimacy, which is glory, thanksgiving, and honor. The first one, I'm not going to talk a lot about that, is the one about glory. All I want to, and it's going to sound maybe, and I'm going to maybe say a few things that sounds condemning. I can promise you my heart is not to condemn anyone. If you feel condemned, say, no, don't take it. Okay? That's not my heart. My heart is more, it's like exercises. Ask the fisher. Sometimes some of the stuff isn't lacquer, but the idea is to help you. Okay? So when it comes to glory, a lot of times we spend so much time asking God for stuff. We will fast, we will pray, we do hours of asking God for stuff. And all I want to ask you, or I hope the Holy Spirit reminds you, next time God comes through for you, try to spend the same time that you've been using to ask Him for stuff to bring glory to Him. Are you with me? He deserves our glory. We sometimes just want the thing, and then we want to walk on. The same is, let me read to you about thanksgiving. Do not, it's again, you're going to see, that's what I said. Here's the problem. Don't be anxious. Some people struggle with anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, we find that if you struggle with anxiety, what should you focus on? Thanksgiving. Are you with me? When it comes to thanksgiving also, you all know, I think it's in Luke 17, there's the 10 guys with leprosy. Jesus healed all 10 of them. Only one comes back to say thank you. I think if we could ask those 10 people today, let's say 2,000 years later, what was the most significant thing that happened in your life? I think 9 of them would say, the day Jesus healed me. I think number 10 would say, the day He met Jesus. Are you with me? A lot of times we ask for things, but we want to even idolize God's hands, but not intimacy with Him. We're not looking for Him, we're just looking for the solution. Are you with me? Is that a bit harsh? Let's go on. It's getting better. Hierdie kan ek regtig nie in Engels sê nie. Tessalonicense. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Did you see that? The Bible doesn't say give thanks in some circumstances. It's very clear, it's all. For this is the will of God, if we want to do the will of God, in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecy, but test everything, hold fast what is good. But say, again, it is give thanks. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Again, when it's thanksgiving, God even make it personal to make your soul whole. Amen. Let me quickly just read to you Psalm 50, verse 42-23. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Again, sometimes we think we need thanksgiving must first be in our heart before we can do it. Now God says, bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Again, there's a promise in doing that. But to the wicked, God says, you will see He's not that happy about the wicked. What right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you have hated discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see the thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth to free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. Again, putting God in our own box. But now I rebuke you and lay charge before you. Mark this. Then you who forgot God, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. I think all we need to say is amen. Now, the third one, and it's really the one I remember when I did my preparation for you guys. This was the one that really stood out for me. And I want to read you or show you quickly the Ten Commandments. This is summary for those that don't remember the Ten Commandments. When last did you get a sermon from the Ten Commandments? Really? You just mentioned it. It was, but oh goodness, now. Now I must think what I'm saying. If you had, I would, you know, if there's a contradiction, it will be bad, you know. Anyway, most of the things in the Ten Commandments is stuff you shouldn't do, except one. And that is honor your father and your mother. Do you realize that most of the Ten Commandments is for adults except this one? It's for children. Are you with me? Now, if you like me, I've got... who of you are engineers here? If you like me, I like patterns and also numbers and stuff like that. I'm maybe as weird as you. And for me, I remember once running or jogging there in Somerset West, and this puzzled me the whole few hours. And why is all of them not... Do not accept this one. And I started really meditating on this, and it's amazing. God started speaking to me. And even when I'm going to talk about honor, I can tell you, I'm not talking from a place from, oh, I got it right. And jullie people moet nou maar luister. You know, it's really a thing that God convicted me of, and he's been dealing with me ever since, and I'm enjoying it so much that he's talking to me about this. And that is honoring your father. And something that puzzled me about that, when can we honor your father and your mother? Always. Is there any condition to honor your father and your mother? No, it's unconditionally. Do your father and mother deserve more honor if they are good parents? No. Do your parents deserve more honor if they saved? Do you realize that that God makes it very clear, and I'm going to read it in the New Testament everywhere anyway. God expects us to honor our father and mother. He's not asking us, did you have a good father and mother? That is something they need to give account for. Now, the sad thing, and I realize this more and more, and this is probably why God actually had to speak to me about it. I come from a very good, healthy family. But not all of us come from healthy families. The challenge with that is, if you didn't learn to honor your father or mother, the chances is good, I don't want to make an assumption about this, the chances is good you're also going to struggle with your intimacy with God. If you didn't learn how to honor your father and your mother, you're going to probably struggle to honor God. Because how do you actually do it? The reason it was also said to children, but the parents also knew this, is, let me explain to you, and most of you don't have kids, or some of you are getting kids right now. The only way children can see how to honor their parents is if they see their parents honor other people. So if I walk into my house with my, I've got four children. If I walk into my house and I dishonor whoever, my children will one day dishonor me. Are you with me? It's scary, actually. Obviously, all the things that I've said tonight, obviously there's an umbrella of grace over all of this. But something I want to ask you. And I know for some of you this might be extremely difficult. And I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your background. I don't know your relationship with your parents. But I do want to ask you, if your parents is alive, I want you to go and honor them if like they were the perfect parents. Not for their sake as much as for your sake. Because you need it. Are you with me? For some of us, it might be difficult. I remember, as I said, I even come from a healthy family. I've got a good mother, a good father. My mother is super saved. She's the most... Oh, you don't understand super saved. I must tell you super saved. Let me quickly just tell you a story too. He will now know my wife, Sandra. The day I wanted to ask her out... Now, this is long time ago, okay? Nokia 5110 was a new thing, okay? And my mother back then, she never SMS or do anything like that, okay? But she and God is like this. I think one day she's going to be closer than Moses or someone. But anyway, so I planned the whole evening. And I'm very specific. And I decided 10 minutes to 10, I'm going to ask my wife out. I even had my accountability partner. He had to leave 1:45. You know, I had it all planned. And I was like, I usually, when I get serious, I go like this on the front of my seat. You know, I went and sit like this, just to like Sandra. And the moment I did it, I got an SMS from my mother. She never SMS, and I mean, this is 10 minutes to 10. She's supposed to sleep now. And she SMS me now, you're going to make a decision right now. Which way you're going to step into a hole, you're going to stay in there, and I'm going to lose you, and you're verloor. I was like, thank you, Tata Sandra. You know? And I immediately left. And the next morning or through the night, I was like, God, what on earth is going on here? And then he told me, no, I'm just preparing your mother. You are going to step in the hole, and she's going to lose you because you're never going to get out of that. And so the next day, I did it very unromantic. I bought a pizza in a bucket. I asked my wife, But anyway, that's just one of the stories of my mother. She prayed the storms away, and oh my goodness, when she prays, you're in trouble. Let me read to you Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3, and I'm still on the topic of honoring. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So this is in the New Testament. Honor your father, your mother. This is the first command with a promise. It's again one of those where God touches the root. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So it may go well with you. Some of you, it's not going well with you because you don't know how to honor. It's one of those promises. We all read that prayer and we make a whole doctrine about the prayer of Jabez. But do you know what's the difference between Jabez and his brothers? The Bible says he was the one with more honor. We make like a doctrine thing about the prayer thing. There's something first that happened in his heart. Are you with me? So when we get to that place where we can honor, now how does honoring look like? Maybe. Quickly. Turn to one another. Say, how do honoring look like? What do you do to honor someone? What do you do practically to honor someone? By the way, the definition is, it's not something just in your heart, it's an action too. I'm going to give you another opportunity for this. I'm going to make it even more practical. Let me first go on. You will see the Bible, it takes it from glory to glory, if I can put it like that. Romans 1, verse 22 to 23. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, that's getting old as a Christian. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. That's probably one of the biggest challenges that we have in a church. People think, because I've been sitting here at church and I'm knowing God for many years, I've got the right to judge other people, to judge the leader, judge people around me, and I'm just getting very judgmental. And that makes me a very mature Christian, because I can judge people. That's not a mature Christian. Okay? Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They are gossips. That's also usually a giveaway They always have something to say about other people. Slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. God feels quite strong about it. There was one verse that I didn't even read. In the Old Testament, if the Bible says if a child didn't honor his parent, the parent should take the child to the gates of the city, and the, like they said, the men, it's like usually the elders, would actually kill the child. It's quite harsh, I know. I didn't read that verse for you on purpose. Let's take it a bit further. 1 Timothy 8 in the Bible. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That's now in your case, Werner. Let as many servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. It's talking about your boss. Did you know you should honor your boss? Now again, there's a key here for you. You see, I've seen so many times people leaving their job because they're not happy with their boss, and the reality is you're going to get another boss like that. God will send you through the desert till you overcome and get so that you can get in the promised land. Okay? So, the concept of honoring that God is teaching us, how to honor your father, your mother, is exactly the same concept of honoring of your boss. Do we honor your boss because he deserves it? No. Are you with me? Okay, next one. 1 Peter 2, verse 30 to 15. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it to be the emperor as supreme, for the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Let love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. The other day I was preaching at Swakopmund, and I actually made a fuss about honoring the government and the president. And there was like a worm. He's like, his size was like this. And I was doing an English sermon, and he was like, "Butman, do you want me?" And in Afrikaans, he actually said this, "Butman, do you want me to honor Jacob Zuma?" And I actually asked him, "Do you know who were the emperor Peter and Paul is talking when he says honor the emperor?" It was Nero. Do you know who Nero was? He was the guy, he pretty much took Christians, dumped them into oil, light them to make light for his garden. He killed his own mother. And in that context, they still said, honor him. You see, there's something that God needs to, when we get to a culture of honoring, there's something he releases in your heart. Are you with me? Now you're getting very quiet. If you are quite competitive. Oh, we've got so many honest people in here. I like that. Some of you are competitive, you just don't want to say it in a church. Okay, Romans 12, verse 10 to 21. I'm not going to read all the verses. Love one another with brotherly affection. Now, this is the competitive part. Outdo one another in showing honor. Let's read the rest of the. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in your prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lonely. Never be conceited. Repay. Listen to this. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. The Bible says actually, even if your enemy, think of how you can honor them. Do you realize that we don't have this culture with us? So when we even talk about love one another, it's very difficult to love someone if you don't have honor in your heart. And the Bible actually even says there's a step before honoring even. I think it's in Proverbs, it says the first step of honoring is actually humility. So if you want to learn to love one another, because it's very scary, Bible says we should love one another in a way that we will lay down our life for that person. I think very few of us is at the place where we will lay down our life for another person. And the Bible even says, if we love one another, the world will see we are Jesus' disciples. So sometimes if we want the church to grow, to fill up this hall, we don't need more strategies. We need more love for one another. Then people will come by itself. Are you with me? Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Let me quickly tell you another story. Where I lived in Somerset West, we've got this like open park thingy behind our house. As I said, I've got 4 children, and I've got this one dog that has a very high-pitched bark. It's quite irritating. Anyway, now when we get this side of the wall, she starts with a very irritating, high-pitched barking. Anyway, but I couldn't take her along because, you know, I was teaching my children how to ride a bicycle. So she will run in front of the bicycles, okay? And when I came back, my neighbor was waiting for me at my gate. And I could see he's not a happy chappy. And he now starts to rebuke me. And my wife is also there. Now, my wife is Portuguese. Any Portuguese here? No Portuguese here. Is there two here? Half Portuguese. I also half. They immediately make excuses now. Anyway, now my wife is Portuguese. You don't rebuke a Portuguese. She will just rebuke you back, you know. And while she's standing there, I hear the Holy Spirit asking me, I'm teaching you about honoring how you're going to handle this. And if you know me, Vanna know me well, if it comes to a fight with words, the chances is good I will win. Okay? That sounds very arrogant. But anyway, ask someone that knows me well. Anyway, so I'm standing there, and I realized that I can actually hear God saying he's going to test me now. So my wife wanted to go there, and I was like, Sandra, please just go. You know, I will handle this, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult. And so I listened to older Umi, and he's going do his thing, and I was afterwards quite impressed on how I actually handled it. But anyway, the next week, I go, this time with my dog and children, the back of the yard. Before that, I know the Bible talks about the demons going into the pigs. This week, it was like demons going into the neighbor's dog. He was like, it's a she. She was barking nonstop 24 hours. My wife, standing with the cell phone, I'm going to record this now. I'm going to sing. Anyway, yeah, I'm saying, and by the way, my dog, which usually bark for whatever reason, sits like this next to the wall. And the next week, I'm again outside in this little park thingy, and he opened his gate, and this dog, which is usually very friendly, runs at us, and he's going like, rawr, rawr, you know, I had to protect my children and dog. And he ran afterwards, and he's like, I'm so sorry for this, and I'm so sorry for my alarm going off the whole week. And I'm like, I didn't even hear your alarm, but anyway. And while standing there, I so clearly hear exactly that. God saying to me, you see, if you leave things for me, I will do all your fighting for you. And that's why I said my title, your enemy is not always the devil, it's sometimes just you. Your mind gets in the way of your own deliverance, of your own intimacy with God. It's not always the devil. We sometimes want to make him the scapegoat, if I can put it like that, for everything, but it's not always him. Sometimes it's just us. He shouldn't get that much glory anyway. Are you with me? To come back, because I really felt for some of you guys, it's really a key to intimacy. I want to come back to your relationship with your parents, or even your boss. If you don't have parents anymore, think about your terrible boss. And even some of you might be one another's boss here. Yeah? Is that the situation, maybe? But anyway. I'm going to say something probably radical. Maybe you should just close your eyes. I'm going to say something radical. And I really don't say this in an insensitive way, because again, as I said, I don't know your circumstances. But do you know when you've got total, I want to say, forgiveness, deliverance, or a good relationship with your dad or mother? Is the day you can say to God, of all the parents you could give me, you've given me the best. If you can say that, the chances is good. You've dealt with your relationship with your parents. If you can't say that, there's a chance there's still a lot of hurt in your relationship with your parents. And now you can open your eyes again. We sometimes think we can ignore those relationships. The reality is, it's like eating. Now it's going to sit somewhere. Now you can't ignore hurts of the past. Some stage in your life, you need to deal with it. Are you with me? And I know it's not easy. What I wanted to say, I've got a pretty much good relationship with my dad. But I remember once God actually said to me, I must give thanks to him, God, but my dad. And I said to God, if I need to be honest with you, God, I can't think of a single thing to say thanks around my dad. So God said, now understand that. I just want you every week think of one thing, even if you need to force yourself, but I want you to say thank you to me for one thing in your dad's life. And I started doing that, and it actually became easier. And the irony is, my dad at that stage, for me, in my eyes, he was obviously not a perfect dad. When I come from a farm, and whenever he was busy doing stuff on the farm, and I would see him, you know, I will do something stupid because out of a fear for him. But when I started doing and just giving thanks to God for the dad that he'd given me, God first changed something in my heart, and then he actually changed my dad. Again, do what God asked from you and leave the rest to him. God didn't call us to disciple our parents. Are you with me? The thing that he asks us is, do we honor them? For some of you, you probably can't start with your parents just because it's too difficult for you. Then start with your boss. If that's even too difficult, start with your neighbor. If that's too difficult, start with the person in your small group. But start somewhere in honoring someone else. And I also want to just challenge all of us. As the Bible says, give honor to even to human institutions. What do we say about Eskom, Telkom? All of them. The Bible says we should not conform to the world. But sometimes we sound exactly like them when it comes to people in authority, human institutions. The Bible says, as evilness increase, he will raise a standard. What does that standard, raising a standard, mean? It doesn't mean he's changed his circumstances. It means he changes us. The only way he can raise a standard in this country is by changing our hearts. Currently, there's such a divisiveness in our country. Everything is his fault, her fault, this race, that race, apartheid, new government. Christians can't talk like that. If you have a divisive spirit in you, it's the opposite of honoring, giving thanks. It means you also probably, most likely, struggling in your intimacy with God. Talk to a new Christian and ask him about the country. He will probably say, we're going to get them saved. Talk to an older Christian and says, oh yeah, the evilness, where can we start? We just need to pray for this government. Let me challenge you on this even. I once at Stellenbosch, our pastor said in intercession, we're going to pray for the country. Now, you know how it is. All of you are humans also. In my mind, I'm like going, okay, I'm going to pray about this. Need the light. You know, all secrecy must come out. And, you know, I've got this whole prayer already in my mind. But I'm praying now with, his name is Arno Fourie. He actually won the gold medal at the Paralympics. And I'm praying with him. Now, he thankfully started praying first. And now he's praying from a place of, he says something like, God, thank you for our government. I want to pray for them because they're going through so much hardship. You've appointed all authority, so the devil's also against them, you know. And he's praying from a total different page than I am. I remember when it's my turn to pray, I prayed. I said, God, and let us all think like he do. And I was so convicted, just realizing that how fraught my heart is actually. And the reality is, when we get bitter and critical, do you know who's the only person suffering? It's you. And you can even ask your friends about that. You become a negative person. You're not like children anymore. I want to, again, show you that list. Oh, it's already on. Yuck, that guy is prophetical. That's a girl. Maybe God is talking to you about one of those things. Maybe yoking with Jesus, kindness. You can write down those verses and go meditate on them. And ask the Holy Spirit which of those things you should focus on for the next while. And talking about focus on something, you know, we're in a generation that everything must happen quickly, immediately, right now. This year I've done my 5th Ironman. And every time when people hear I'm going to do Ironman, they ask me, they've got like a set questions. Is it your first? No, it's not my first. It's my 5th. Oh, then it must be very easy by now. Usually I just smile. I'm working in this honoring thing. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, no, it's still 3.8 kilometers of swimming. No, it's still 180 kilometers of cycling. And then there's still another 42.2. Don't forget that 0.2. 0.2 of running. So, no, it didn't get easier. But life is exactly the same. Your race, when we focus on something, it doesn't actually get easier. But how you handle it will get better with maturity. I, for example, just using my Ironman as example, I know around about 3 hours in cycling, I usually go through a dip. For the people that know something about, I think it's when your body go from carbs to proteins. And but I also know about 40 minutes after that, I get normalize again. Now, what I believe what God said to us, when we start running a race with him, it's okay to slow down. It's even okay to walk, but never stop. For anyone who's done an endurance race, if you stop, you must stop. But it's okay to slow down. God don't want fast runners. He just wants endurance. He will help with the rest. He will give you your Coke or whatever for those. Coke. But he will give you your supplement next to the road. He is fine for you slowing down. But don't stop. So when we say to God, and if you can go back to that list again, when we say to God, for the next time, next while, I'm going to first seek the kingdom of God, or I'm going to work on thanksgiving or giving, yoke with Jesus. By the way, yoke with Jesus, do you know how do you get to that answer? You ask God, God, what is the thing that you are passionate in your heart at this moment? I want to become part of that. We sometimes sing that one song, show me the things on your heart. No, he mustn't just show you. You must get part of that. Are you with me? So that's yoking. Oh, I want to say joking with Jesus. Yoking with Jesus. Or working on your submission. Honoring, or to edify the church, or to love one another. But when the Holy Spirit say to you, pick that one, I want you to endure with it. Don't say in a few months' time, no, I didn't. No, I've trying to love the neighbor, but goodness, I still don't have any joy. No, if you have to say to God, I will do it for 50 years if I need to. But I will be faithful in this. Amen. Then we all stand. I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you, God, for just your amazing faithfulness, Father God. I pray, thank you, God, that, yes, God, you understand us, Father God, and you've got so much grace for us, Father. And even as you said right in the beginning, Father, tonight we want to draw near to you, Father. But, Father, this time we don't just to give you a small opening in the door to say we can see you. But, Father, this time we want to be intimate with you. I pray, God, that even for those of us that really feel, I'm so far away from you, I don't even know where to start. I thank you, God, that even tonight some of the words was harsh, but your Holy Spirit is gentle. Thank you, God, that yes, even a little bit of faith from our side is enough for you to work with, Father. But tonight, I pray, God, that we will all commit ourselves. And even as you're standing there, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is the thing he wants to touch you. Tonight, please don't remember my words. Don't try to figure me out or any such of things. But rather, ask the Holy Spirit, what is that conviction he wants to bring in your life? Because that is the important thing. And Father, I pray, God, even tonight here, if you're standing here and you know, I really struggle and or I need to go back to my parents to honor them because I realize there's some relationship blockage, I want you to quickly raise your hand. If you need, you know you need to go back to your parents and start honoring them, I want you to quickly raise your hands. Amen. Then also, another group of people here, you realize, since you've got saved, you've only grown to be more negative and critical. You know, you see more things that's wrong than you see things that's right, that excites you. And you realize even you don't really like that part of yourself, but at the moment it's right, it's there. But tonight you want to give that critical spirit to God. I also want to raise your hand. Amen, Father. I thank you, God, for every hand that's raised. I thank you, God, that tonight, Father God, you want to take, it's like going through the Red Sea, Father God. We want to take Egypt and put it behind us, Father God. And we want to go through, even if it means through a desert time, but to get to that promised land. Father, we want to get to that place when you dare to give the, let the food fall from the sky. When the water comes from the rock, we there. And we experience that joy with people around us, Father. I thank you, God, that we can come and claim back all the years that the devil stolen from us, where you've done such amazing things around us, but we couldn't even in our heart experience it. It's like we see the miracles, we even see your goodness, but it doesn't actually do anything to us. But I thank you, God, you're breaking up our hearts. And tonight, even before I started preaching, I saw tonight God is taking in our hearts. It's like a missing puzzle piece, and he's putting it actually back. Because he knows our hearts to start pumping, we need that whole heart. And I pray, God, that tonight, even as we're standing right here, your Holy Spirit is starting to make people's heart pump again, Father God. That bitterness, that negativity, that unforgiveness we bring to you, Father. And Father, especially I want to pray for people that came from broken families and where their parents got divorced or whatever thing. I pray, God, the examples they were supposed to get from parents, I pray, God, that you will come and impart those things in all of us. Thank you for your grace for that, Father. And I pray, God, where they couldn't see honor and thanksgiving and love for one another in their own families, I pray, God, that those people will see it right here between these people standing next to them, Father. I pray, God, that when people here in Secunda look at this church, they will see people that honor, that people that don't mock one another, that don't make Yes, let love one another, that they will see that love, so that they can know that's the thing I want in my heart. I know that's the thing I need, Christ. I want to ask those, especially, and please don't feel forced, if you put up your hand for, you know you need to make right with your parents, and you need or you want someone just to pray with you, I want you to come and stand right at the front to my left. And those that feel, I really want to deal with this negative spirit, critical spirit, I want you to come and stand at my right. Thank you, God. Father, I want to thank you, God, that even when we walk out of this building tonight, Father God, this is only a beginning, Father God. It's beginning of an endurance race. I pray, God, that you will help us to even be patient with ourselves, Father God. And again, Father, I want to thank you, God, that you're gentle. I pray, God, that, yes, Father God, that the devil will have no hold on us, Father, and you actually deliver us, Father. I thank you, God, that we will get to a place that it's your goodness that leads us to repentance, Father. And thank you, God, that you're restoring relationships even tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. I hope we have got enough people to pray here at the front. We're going to agree with you and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, but again, it's not our prayers, it's your obedience. God only needs your obedience. It isn't about the prayer here at the front. This is only to agree with you and even pray a blessing over you.
Just before these people start praying in front, can we just stretch our hands out to Jan Kor and let's start practicing that right now. Jan Kor represents our apostolic team in Stellenbosch, and they are a father and a mother to us. They are our parents in the spirit. They look out for us. They know how it's going with us. If it's bad, they pray for us. They help us. We go to Stellenbosch often to get refreshed by them. They pray for us and fast for us. And I think just as a spiritual sign, let's put our hand out and as we honor Jan Kor, we also honor our whole apostolic team, our whole family of fathers in Stellis. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for Jan Kor here as a seed from Stellenbosch, Lord. Our spiritual fathers, Lord, and right now we want to thank you that it's easy to honor them today. And even if we should honor parents when they are bad, thank you that we can say, wow, you have given us the best parents. And so spiritually, Lord, lift them up, protect them, love them, lead them. Lord, may their joy be full for them. May it be for them a joy to lead us. May we be joy for them. When they think of us, Lord, may they smile. May their burden be light, Lord. And I'm speaking for all of our churches, Standerton, Pretoria, every single Shofar church, even those young ones being planted in Pietermaritzburg, Dunedin. May we be a reason to smile for our spiritual parents. And change our hearts, Lord, that we may grow in this thing of honor. And everyone says, amen. Guys, we're going to pray in front. You are welcome. You are dismissed. You can go and have coffee at the back. If you want prayer for anything else.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.